the meetings of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And to give you a little vignette here, and I don't know all my streets in Washington, but the IMF is directly next door to the World Bank. Just one street divides them, and I'm sure there's secret tunnels underneath that I don't even know about. And it's, Paul, it's like, you know, international and everything she. Everybody's wearing Hermes bow ties and you know, the rest of it. And the rest of Washington completely ignores it. Exactly. It's like this hermetically sealed international thing, sort of like Vatican City in Rome. It's just like it's there. Joining us now to translate in Washington is Zach Cohen, Bloomberg Government Congress Reporter. And Zach, I want to take this to the zeitgeist right now, completely ignoring IMF and World Bank and the rest. And it's sort of a Butch Cassidy moment. Who is this guy? Or who is that guy? Or who are those guys? And the guy is from South Carolina. He came out of R.B. Stahl High School, South Carolina. He is African American. He's different. And I'm going to suggest that Mr. Scott has made a splash even before the new presidential dialogue. Who is this guy?
Well, right now, he's the only black Republican senator in the U.S. Senate, and he's the latest entrant into the Republican presidential nominating contest for 2024. This morning, he announced he's forming an exploratory committee, which is essentially a way to be able to raise money in excess of
what Paul did. Paul did that as well.
Exactly. You all are experts on this. And it basically confirms what we've known for a while, as Tim Scott is interested in running for president. He might be the only senator that runs for president against Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and all these folks. And he's getting his name out there, and he's going to be running, I assume, on this message of you know, economic fairness and fighting back against the quote-unquote radical left.
I grew up with a huge grandparent affinity for Edmund Burke of Massachusetts, Ed Burke of Massachusetts, who is a lonely African-American in that era as well. Is this like a Burkean Massachusetts moment, or is this guy different? Have we moved on to a different paradigm for an African-American Republican?
I think his politics are certainly different. He looks and sounds like, you know, your normal conservative Republican. In his video this morning, it was all about, you know, using Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders as sort of punching bags for more progressive or liberal policies. This is also somebody, I should point out, is very close to the banking industry. He's the top Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, was kind of front and center after the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And so he's had a long, long history with that particular sector, and something I assume has, and something that has been really supportive of him in the past and could be in the future.
Hey, Zach, our good friends in Congress apparently, reportedly, coming back to work here, and they got a pretty big to-do list. How do you think they're going to prioritize? What can they get done? What's going to happen here?
Well, the clock's ticking. As we all know, the debt ceiling comes up in just a couple of months, sometime maybe in July or August. And in the meantime, they're going to try to work on actually a couple of bipartisan bills, which might surprise people. They've got a rail safety bill after the derailment in East Palestine and other places in Ohio. That could come up for a vote or maybe in committee at least. They've got a firefighter grant bill that they want to get across the finish line. There's certainly enough bipartisan bonhomie right now that they're interested in getting something done, as well as obviously some nominees. There's a Federal Reserve vacancy they've got to fill. And so all of that is going to happen sometime, I think, probably over the next 2 months, just because, you know, it's going to get a lot harder to get anything done after the debt ceiling fight, during a more contentious fight over government funding and maybe military policy in the fall. And then, of course, 2024 is right around the corner, when lawmakers are going to be more interested in scoring political points than really substantially achieving anything.
All right. So we talk about the government spending. Explain to us that are having a hard time following this, what is kind of the debt limit ceiling issue, and what are the likely, outcomes, I guess, or options?
Yeah, and part of the confusion here is that Congress has never done this correctly.
Okay.
Normally, they would try to do, the sort of budget and appropriations systems in tandem, and that isn't really how it works. The government obviously has a statutory limit on how much money it can borrow, and actually the U.S. government has already breached that. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in the midst of taking these what are called extraordinary measures to prevent a default. And those extraordinary measures will expire sometime this summer based on current projections. Separate from that is it's September September 30th, the U.S. government runs out of money. The authority to spend money runs out. And so lawmakers and President Biden will need to agree on how to fund the government for the next month. Tied into that, obviously, is there are some Republicans who want to lower overall government spending for the next year in any conversation about past government spending that's tied to the debt limit.
Zach Cohen with us in Washington and New York. A headline, Paul Sweeney picking up on
boy.
This. Fortress Diamond, J.P. Morgan, calling managing directors into office 5 days a week.
Oh, boy, that's
Zach
big.
Cohen almost fell off the chair here in our headquarters. Zach Cohen, 100,000 people at the Department of Agriculture. Where are we on work from home in a given division of the federal government, say agriculture? I mean, are we going to see the Secretary of Agriculture put out a Jamie Dimon headline? Let's go, in 5 days a week?
It could be. I think there's been a lot of pressure on the Biden administration to bring folks back into, you know, more days a week than certainly the current status quo. Obviously, since COVID, a lot of folks have been working from home. The mayor of D.C. has been urging the Biden administration to bring folks back into federal buildings, in part to help bolster the downtown core here, where restaurants are really trying to get back on their feet. So we could see that, but obviously, it's hard to shake workers out of that work from home paradigm.
My sophisticated analysis, Paul, is traffic's one-third less than normal IMF meetings.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Zach, give us a sense of just D.C. in general. I mean, this is big for J.P. Morgan because a lot of folks presumably will follow Jamie Dimon. Is there any sense that there's that kind of pressure or move in D.C. to get people back?
There's a little bit. I'm not sure it's quite as profound. And certainly on the Republican side, there is. Democrats, maybe not so much. I mean, I came out of the metro this morning. It was crowded, but not certainly as crowded as it was before the pandemic. So it's kind of nice getting into D.C. without quite as much traffic, I will say that.
Zach Cohen, thanks so much. Greatly appreciated. He's in Washington. Just excellent with us. I sort of like, Paul, I double barrel Cohen and Giroux.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other heroes in Washington that follow all this stuff.
Yep. We got the team down there, Tom. I mean, pound for pound. I mean, what's better than that Washington Bureau?